Good morning. This is Co-op Radio 102.7 FM. I live CFRO. You're listening to Wake Up with Co-op. My name is Reg Argue. As our first guest, we're going to have a grandmother who's an environmentalist, also a novelist, and is currently running for mayor here in Vancouver. Her name is Betty Croswick. Are you there, Betty?
Yes, I am, Reg. Good morning.
Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Betty.
It's my pleasure.
I was wondering if I could take you back a few decades when you first began an activist, back to when you were desegregation was going on in the South, and also when Vietnam era was going on. What was it like in that time period?
It was terrible. It was just really terrible because in the desegregation of the school system, it touched every aspect of my life, my children, my family, my neighborhood, lifelong friends, and because it was so divisive in this sense in my life, it was actually, to tell you the truth, the most emotionally devastating thing I've ever been through, except for deaths of my family, in my family. So that was horrible. So was the Vietnam War. You know, I talked to some people, younger people, but not all that much younger, who say that during the, you know, the 60s and 70s, they were sort of having a good time with all the change, with all the new freedoms. Well, for me, it was all blood, sweat, and tears, but I don't regret any of it. None of my participation do I regret. I'm sorry that I wasn't able to do more during those years, actually.
Well, you've done tremendous over your lifetime. I think that you are a very inspirational person that a lot of us should look up to gain inspiration in our own life, and that's what my personal thoughts are. Do you think that the war that's currently going on in Iraq and Afghanistan, is that similar, in your humble opinion, from what you saw during the Vietnam era? Would you say that the same circumstances are now continuing on in Iraq, in regards to the war in Iraq and Afghanistan?
I'm perfectly astonished at it's a replay. It's almost a replay where a really militarily advanced country will go into a much smaller country, one that is not militarily advanced particularly, and devastate it and discount all of the deaths of civilians as being just simply collateral damage. It's it's just simply outrageous in this day and time when countries know, when populations of countries know that this is a dreadful, dreadful thing to do, to just kill so many people with impunity, because they are the militarily strongest and economically the strongest nation in the world at the moment. And but we can't just accept that. This is so dreadful. People are being shaken to their core by it, not just those of us here who are so anti-war, but people of other nations who recognize that the United States of America and Canada's complicity in this is something that should be abhorred by the world at large.
Being someone who's a veteran in the Canadian Forces, and also I was over in Iran in 1988, how can we educate the rest of the masses onto what it's like over in the Middle East, and also how can we educate the people so that they don't want to go to war? Because I find myself, I don't want to see the soldiers going to war in any way. I've seen the destructions of war, what the end result is, and it's not a pretty picture. but how can we educate the youth so that they start standing up and using their voice and saying, no, we don't want to be part of this anymore?
Well, you know, Reg, of course, that is just absolutely a huge question. And I think a large part of it is going to have to come from parents of these young men and young women. Because as long as parents will just willingly give over their sons and daughters to go to a foreign country that has not attacked this country in any way, and kill innocent people and stand the risk of being killed and maimed themselves, it's going to go on in this same hit-or-miss fashion, because governments know that they have to persuade the parents of children to not protest and to take their children and do this to them. And this is what makes me so angry, Reg, is that parents sacrifice everything to raise their children in this country and in the United States without an awful lot of help. Children to get education, parents have to sacrifice. They have to sacrifice for housing. Raising a child in this country and in the United States is a tremendous job. But then as soon as that child turns 18, then the state will step in and say, oh, we really, really want your child. We need this child. And they are, so many of them still children. They listen to childish music or to very young music. They listen to play very young videos. They are not truly, in my opinion, 18-year-old. The usual 18-year-old, the average 18-year-old, still has a lot of child in them, and they can be persuaded by fantasies of heroism, of going and slaughtering a giant somewhere. We have to persuade parents of these children to be firm in their education of these children, that war is a horrible, horrible thing and should never be resorted to for oil or to be part of any kind of a consortium or organization that says, oh, well, we can go over there and kill them first before they come kill us, which is absolute nonsense. And I think this is the way that that we have to go with this. Is it isn't only the young people, it's the parents and this generation of adults who must seek to protect the young people of this country instead of sending them off to be slaughtered and then telling us, if we don't do that, then we're not supporting the young people. Now, is that a double bind or what they try to put us in?
Yeah, that is also with the current commercial that the Canadian Armed Forces have. I find that to be like a video game, and that is total brainwashing. I remember back when I joined in 1986, they had a commercial going, there's no life like it. And then truly, I served for almost 9 years, right up to 95, and there was no life like it. It was a great experience, and that's how I became someone who doesn't support war, because I've seen what it does. You're going to be running for mayor next year. I was wondering if I could quickly ask you, what is one of the platforms that you're going to have in regards to the homeless issue here in the East Hastings area?
Reg, let me just comment on what you just said about serving. You know, I think you're remarkable. I think you're truly remarkable that you have done all that and come back and now speak out against it. This is our biggest hope is for the young people themselves, of course, to turn against this way of dealing with the world's problems or perceived problems. About the homeless issue, Reg, it's an extremely complicated issue, as everybody knows. But because I've I've become acquainted with some of the people on the east side, at any rate. And I've met some of these women in prison, because I've served so much time in prison, that I listened to some of the stories that have plunged people, in my case, the stories I listened to were from women, into homelessness. And it begins and ends with poverty. You know, we have to outlaw poverty. We just must simply outlaw poverty. The George Bernard Shaw was one of my biggest educators through his works, and he impressed me with this, is that you cannot have a good society where there are pockets of poverty, of extreme poverty, because poverty breeds crime. It breeds disease. It breeds degradation. If you have populations of people who can't take care of themselves properly, then this is a danger to us all, because, number one, we are all susceptible to circumstances of falling into a population of homelessness. And secondly, what kind of a civilization are we that we allow homelessness, that we allow people sleeping in the streets at a time when we have record budget surpluses? It's an absolute scandal. And the people of British Columbia, of Vancouver, should look at the measures that could be taken to alleviate this situation. Number one is we just have to have social housing. We have to, not just in dribs and drabs here and there, but more and more children are becoming involved in this homeless situation. We're raising children in such abject poverty that they have to use the food banks, that they have to beg for clothes, or their mothers, or in some cases fathers, have to beg society to enable their children to have enough to eat and a place to sleep and to go to school. This is for such wealthy nations to be such among the wealthiest nation in the world. Canada should hang its head in shame to have one child in four living in poverty. That's outrageous. It's just absolutely outrageous, and people should be screaming in the streets that we don't take better care of the people than we do, of the children that we do, and give people a chance to take care of themselves. We're never going to get rid of the homelessness around the east side until the people themselves are engaged in their own ways of dealing with this and of combating poverty. You know, the idea that people can build their own places is such as Jimmy Carter's idea of helping to build, help people, give them the materials, give them a chance, give them some faith and hope in them so that they can have faith and hope in themselves. This is what is demanded, and yet our governments just turn absolutely blind eye to that. They're more, this provincial government is more concerned with more highways, more traffic congestion, more catering to private corporations. Well, why doesn't the government enter into some kind of a public partner situation with private companies to build social housing? They can do it to build highways. They can do it to do just about everything, including going to the moon, practically. Why can't there be these 3P partnerships that the government is so proud of to build social housing? And also, as the mayor and city council, why aren't they pushing for this, really up and out there, absolutely pushing for this, instead of pushing for the Olympics, which has taken all of so much of the surplus money and then try to hide the homelessness and the despair of citizens. It's not becoming to a civilized country. In fact, this is uncivilized.
Well, thank you very much, Betty. We're running out of time. We have to go over to our next guest, and thank you for coming on today.
You're quite welcome, Reg.
What you had to say was truly amazing and very educational. Quickly, can you give your website address where people can go to read some more information on you?
Yes, please. My website is bettysearlyedition.com, and yes, Betty's Early Edition, all one word, .com. And also, you can email me at Betty_Crawzyk, that's Crawzyk, at shaw.ca.
Well, thank you again for coming on, Betty. This is Co-op Radio 102.7 FM. It's Wake Up with Co-op. We're going to go over to our next guest. His name is Ulysse Rotelieu. He's a student of the world. He's from France. He's here in Vancouver at this time. He's also a biology major. And thank you for coming on, Ulysse.
Yeah, hi. I'm really glad to be here on Co-op Radio. I just met you a few weeks ago. And
I think it's a great opportunity for me to speak about my vision of BC and my vision of France and how it's going.
Well, the first question I have for you as a biology major is in reference to the environment of BC. How do you see the environment of BC going downhill in the next 5 to 10 years, let's say?
So first, the big event coming in BC, it's the Olympics. So if you want to see how the environment in BC is going, just I think there is a great documentary for that called Five Ring Circus. It has been made by Conrad Schmidt from the Workless Party. And there is Betty in this documentary especially. And it's a great documentary to explain how we just completely focus all our attention and all the surplus of money on these events of 3 weeks. It's like if, like, there is a guy saying in this documentary that if it, like, if we were completely focused on our birthday all year. It's just like, we're going to make a big party, that's great, but we can't put all our money on this party of 3 weeks. It's just, I mean, it seemed crazy for me, but I know Olympics for a lot of people are the best things ever, and it's great for everybody.
Yeah, and also we have to remember that Harriet Nahani was in that documentary also, the late Harriet Nahani. Yeah. Now, in regards to the electrical plants, we were talking prior to the show. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that, like what's going to happen in reference to the pine trees and what's going to happen to even the ecosystem within British Columbia.
Yeah, my opinion, and I have researched a bit on it on the internet, I have seen the new project of highway, as Betty say, and like especially the twinning of the Portman Bridge, and as well the privatization of the river in BC, and I think that's like the trees are a big concern as well, but the two biggest concern to have is the twinning of the Portman Bridge, which is going to happen in the next few years, and the privatization of all the stream in BC, because like, you can research by yourself on the internet, but it's really amazing, and everything in every stream in BC is becoming private, and there's going to be a hydroelectric plant in the next 5 or 10 years, and it seemed to be good for the ecology because it's a renewable energy. But if we think in impact of ecological system and biodiversity, it's impossible to do that. It's just we're gonna, like, there is already the disparition of salmon with the sea lice, and if we just cut their river with our hydroelectric plant to have more energy, we just really going to change BC, and I don't think it's in the right way to just destroy all ecosystem. And the twinning of the Portman Bridge, we have seen what it happens in any city around the world. When we, like, there is not really any problem of traffic on the Portman Bridge, but the problem is that the port in Vancouver is except to triple the traffic in the port of Vancouver is expected to triple in 20 years. So what the BC Premier and Stephen Harper wants, I think, it's just to grow this port because it's expected to triple the traffic there. But the problem is it's not going to help anybody around Vancouver. This is just to bring trucks and take goods and go back to America and around Canada with these trucks full of goods. And I already think it's just like I defy some, I challenge somebody to prove me wrong. Just I know it's economy leading our planet and everything is kind of about money, but I'm really sad about that.
But also, quickly, if we can talk a little bit about what's going on in France. We only have a couple minutes left. Yeah. In regards to the new leader in France and what he's doing to the work week and also the policies, how he's getting closer to the United States.
So, like, if you know a bit of France, what happened in 2000, like before 2002, it was a socialist government. They tried to put the 35 hours per week work week low, and like they did, but the problem, I think, the people from France were not ready for that. They wanted still more because of commercial saying every day you deserve more, I think, especially. And so in 2002 it has been a big drama for all left activists and all left-wing political parties in France because it has been the extreme right and the right at the second turn of the presidential election. So it has wrecked all the left-wing ideas and just like, okay, you know, France is extreme right or right. We have to choose between these two candidates. I don't really want to be a part of this France anymore. And so what happened is that that was in the election of 2002. And 2007, there was Sarkozy who just took... that's my opinion, and there is different analysis, but I think Sarkozy took the vote from the extreme right to him, and that's why it became so popular, like with his idea of immigration and his idea of like having a strong France to lead the economy of Europe and everything. And I think it's great to have a strong France, but having a strong France only on the economic side and becoming more American than America itself, like America, the government, I have nothing against US people, but what the US government is doing, like there is not a lot of people who are glad about that, and especially in France. And they are not looking at themselves and what's happening with Sarkozy. It's worse than what's happening in the United States today. It's just really, I'm just really sad about what's happening in France, yeah.
Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Ulysses Rotel. Is there an email address you could leave so that you could talk to people if anyone wants to ask you any questions in regards to what's going on in France or the ecosystem here in British Columbia?
Yeah, sure. So it's Ulysses Rotel, so U-L-Y-S-S-E R-E-T-A-I-L-L-E-A-U @hotmail.com.
Well, thank you again for coming on. Today's show was brought to you by Charles Boylan, Donna Peterson, myself, Reg Argue. You've been listening to Co-op Radio 102.7 FM, CFRO. This is Wake Up with Co-op. And until we meet again, thank you very much and have a beautiful day.